And we're back about 20 minutes after 5 here at WGXC 90.7 FM. Sounds of Charlie Hayden and Carla Bley performing Amazing Grace from the album Not in Our Name. And back in 1995, the U.S. Commerce Department published its first look at the original digital divide. That is, the obvious racial, economic, and geographic gaps between those who could get online with a modem and dial-up connection and those who could not. In the intervening decade and a half, cheap web access over phone lines began to level the playing field, bringing millions of Americans into the information age. But in the past few years, a new widening gulf between high-speed wired, cellular wireless, and old-school dial-up has threatened to once again leave lower-income and geographically challenged Americans behind. And I think it goes without saying that this is an issue which deeply affects a great number of our neighbors here in Greene and Columbia counties. Our guest this hour is Kathleen Whitley Harm from the organization Concerned Citizens for Better Broadband in Greene County. And they are a group who, as their literature points out, are working to help find solutions for the lack of the broadband access and broadband choices in Greene County. And by extension, I will say, even though they're not specifically working for Columbia County as well, it's a big problem throughout most of rural America. Welcome, Kathleen. Thank you again for coming by to the Hudson studio where we needed to relocate because of technical problems regarding our internet connection that allows us to actually get online. Fancy that.
We'll figure. And thank you, first of all, for having me. And yes, you make a very good case for why we need to do something about broadband accessibility in our county. And as you point out, it's not unique just to Greene County. This affects Columbia, Ulster. We have a lot of rural counties in New York State and across the country. So it's a big issue. Very important.
Right. Definitely. So let's start with getting a little bit more background on the organization's history, basically how and why it started.
Right. Okay. Well, this started, it was a personal thing, actually. It started for myself about 7 or 8 years ago now. I moved up from downstate region to Greene County and remarried, which is why I moved up. My company, however, is still located on Long Island, and they said to me, hey, if you can make it work for the days you're not here physically in the office, that's great. Well, not too soon after I moved here, I realized I was living in a bit of a black hole. I did not have cell service, and I did not have the type of internet access that I was led to believe I would have. So long story short, here a number of years later, it still falls short of really what I do need to work effectively for my business. My company somewhat tolerates it. But that's what started this crusade. And we've made some progress here. We formally brought the coalition into existence, I would say, about 2.5 years ago. That is when I met my partner, Rosemary O'Brien, who I should point out is very well-versed and has tremendous expertise on these issues of internet technology and broadband technology. In the past, she worked for a major service provider, one of them. And, you know, her expertise has lent great credibility to our coalition and has given us a terrific access to the elected officials at the county level and state and federal level that we've been able to work with so far. So it's been a very positive partnership, and we actually work very well together on this.
Yes, unfortunately, she couldn't join us today.
Right.
But well, hopefully, as this story continues to unfold, as it will, and perhaps we'll come back again and have both you on and talk about this.
We would love that because we've got a lot that's going to be going on. So.
Yes.
Thank you.
So let's have a deeper explanation of the choices, or perhaps better, the lack of, in terms of internet access in our area.
Right.
I mean, we're seemingly dependent on maybe one or two, maybe three, if you kind of count cellular service. I mean, it's not very easy.
Yes, you actually hit one of the major problems and concerns that we have is that there isn't a lot of competition. That is one of the other reasons myself and Rosemary got into this was there do exist a lot of de facto monopoly situations across the region, and I'm sure that's the same in Columbia County. This is a problem because the lack of competition, actually, you can't always ensure that you're providing the best service or the latest technology or necessarily the best pricing for folks. And so that becomes a critical issue, especially in this economy. And You know, I would say that in terms of access and what's available, well, we know we have some satellite providers. We know there are some smaller wireless providers. The major service providers, not so much. And that's part of the problem, Ron, is that we don't have very good maps for the state. And at the county level and at the state level, this is a problem. Actually, the New York State, we recently participated in the Rural Broadband Symposium that Congressman Gibson's office sponsored last fall. One of the things we heard from state officials was that they intend to address this problem with the maps. And the problem is they're not very accurate, and they don't correctly depict how many homes, residences, and businesses are wired up for Internet access. So we have to address that first before we can fill the gaps and bring, you know, high-speed Internet, potentially broadband to these homes and businesses.
Right. And this symposium, which was put together by Representative Gibson, he's intending, I believe, to put out have a second one later this spring.
Yes. He promised us at the time. You know, we indicated our interest. We would like to work with his office. And I have to tell you, Congressman Gibson has been a real champion on this issue. I just want to put that out there. He has been terrific, as well as his staff. And also, we've made great progress speaking with our local IDA and economic and tourism departments. They are, with their very limited resources, they are stepping up to the plate and working with us as well. Very excited about bringing a Rural Broadband Symposium Part 2 to Greene County. But this will have benefits for the surrounding counties as well, and we intend fully to engage our neighboring counties on this effort. So it's going to be great. We're looking at spring right now, late spring of this year, and certainly we'll keep you posted with information and as well as all stakeholders who live in the area. Well, I thought it might be helpful to back up a minute and give a definition of broadband and what that means.
Yes.
There is an FCC definition.
An official.
Official
definition.
FCC definition for minimum broadband speed, which is 4.4 megabytes per second, and that's a combination of upload and download speeds. And most of your major service providers, of course, do provide that as well exceed that. What is the difference between that and high-speed Internet? Well, anything less than the 4.4 megabytes per second, there is a threshold and a range there for high-speed Internet. And a lot of the local providers are providing that, some more than others. But we have a lot of gaps in our counties where there is not only no Internet service, but in some instances, no cell phone service either. And
right. Now, you see, this all kind of, it's a very... I think, like I'm thinking of the context of Ouroboros, the snake that eats itself, because all of these topics sort of revolve and circle each other, in the sense that you have you commented on Representative Gibson being very positively, geared towards this issue,
mm-hmm.
and without painting too wide a brush. I mean, as a Republican in the Republican-dominated House, government investment and or regulation in issues of this sort are generally frowned upon in favor of a private investment and private industry determining how things work. And I'm wondering as to how, you know, his push Congress, because I don't see where there's a large interest in allowing government regulation. I mean, you in your information package, you talk about the Electrification Act of 1936, and that was a really, really big deal, obviously. But that also was one of the linchpins of the New Deal, and in current American political parlance, the New Deal is tantamount to, you know, communism, socialism. I'm just saying. I'm just wondering how this actually all plays out.
Right. Yeah. And I should be careful. I will back up and say on the record, of course, we're not a political group. We don't care who leads the charge. Just please lead it for us.
Certainly.
Kind of our motto there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and it's an interesting question, because the way we look at this, and I think a lot of people think about broadband, is what's not to like? What's not to agree on? I mean, it's a very win-win situation for everybody. I would like to believe that all of our elected leaders at every level really do get it and do understand the importance and need for all residents, for business, for any growth to take place, to be brought into this century, they understand we need this. The regulation component is always an issue, and it's not too different from any industries out there. Less regulation is always what people want. But we truly do believe that without government involvement, communities that are commercially viable are not going to get what they need. So we're looking for leaders like Congressman Gibson. We're looking for policy to help push this along.
Well, okay. So as an adjunct to this, I bring this up because Congressman Gibson's predecessor, Congressman Murphy, helped put together a package, a $3.5 million broadband grant back in 2010 that was offered to Mid-Hudson Cable, service provider around here, that was accepted at first and then subsequently let go. And this was meant to be for rural broadband infrastructure projects, and they decided not to utilize these funds.
No, we're very aware of that. Our coalition was involved with that. That was also one of the things that spurred our coalition along, was we were aware of that grant. To be clear, the grant did not include the ARRA funding, would not have included my town and my neighboring town of Durham. I'm from Greenville, and my partner is from the Durham, town of Durham. And it did include 14 or targeted 14 other towns. And yes, the ARRA funds were given back. We've actually met with President James Reynolds of Mid-Hudson Cable. Just so you know, there's a part two of what we do. We are working with local towns to help them negotiate their renewal contracts. And one of the ones we're working on right now is my own hometown of Greenville. We're making great progress with Mr. Reynolds, with our town supervisor, who's been a great leader on this issue also. And we've had many conversations with him about the ARRA funds. And again, I believe their reasons were that, you know, it would have required some matching funds, which they said they were not in a position to do or were not, you know, willing to do or aware that they needed to do. But, you know, it's unfortunate that those funds were turned down. We understand that ARRA funding had a lot of stipulations and strings attached, and as most grants do. But our perspective was it was money that would not have had to have been paid back. And it could have gone a long way to doing a lot for local towns. Having said all that, Ron, there are going to be other opportunities for us to maybe get some funding or tap into some funding, and that would be through the redirection of the USF funds, Universal Service Funds, away from providing the basic telephone services for rural communities and redirecting that to Internet.
Right.
So there will be these opportunities, and actually that's one of the things that we've emphasized to Congressman Gibson, to our you know, county elected leaders, our county legislators. We want to get the word out to them. Listen, we'll work with you. We'll help you on this. Let's find out how we can work together to potentially tap into some of these funds and find a way to fill the gaps in our county. And we think it's possible, and that's one of our goals.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I am. I'm glad to hear that you do feel optimistic about this. I guess without beating this subject to death, I think just to sort of wrap up where I was coming from when asking this question is, if you have a situation where the federal government is offering funds and it's given to a company that happens to operate more or less as a monopoly, and they decide that they won't do anything with it and in fact return it, I'm not quite certain, you know, how you then in fact proceed. I mean, without, you know, a little bit more of the stick to go along with the carrot. And then harkening back to my earlier comment about Gibson and the Republicans in particular, is that the stick vis-a-vis the government against private industry in the current political climate, especially in an election year, not really, you know, necessarily operative? Is that a polite way of putting it, and not really happening?
Right.
And I just really wonder how this is going to play out. Do we have to wait until after the election in November until some kind of activity unfolds?
Yeah, it's interesting because the mantra now, of course, and the emphasis, rightfully so, is on the economy, jobs,
sure,
jobs. But here's an interesting thing to point out is the Internet and access to the Internet is so basic and fundamental to a thriving economy and to potentially jobs. I mean, you know, some of the many benefits.
I'm glad you're bringing that up. That's precisely the point. Yes.
Yeah, the more access you give to people, the more opportunity they have to increase their education by distance learning at home. Also, we find, and believe me, we talk to residents and businesses all the time, and we hear the stories of frustrations. We've been at public hearings where we've heard teachers say, you know, I'm out of step. I can't do the things from home that other teachers are doing. My students can't get their homework done. We know all we have to do is look around us, and we see a flurry of young people leaving the county, leaving the state to go to these areas where there's better opportunities and, of course, by default, better internet access. Another important issue is telemedicine and the issue of emergency 911 and public safety services. I just wanted to, while we're on the subject of government and what can we do, I wanted to let our listeners know that Greene County recently released, it was last 2 years ago actually, a telecommunications plan.
Okay.
And I wanted to highlight something that has to do with the emergency services situation, because this really drives home a lot of the points I'm trying to make.
Okay. So just before you do that, let me inform our listeners at about 5:35. You're tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM. This is the Wednesday afternoon show. I'm Ron Diamonstein, and we're talking with Kathleen Whitney Harm from the Concerned Citizens for Better Broadband in Greene County.
Okay.
Back to you, Kathleen.
Yeah, sure. Once again, Greene County published a telecommunications plan in July 2010. And in that plan, they noted that Greene County is considered below average in comparison to a typical upstate New York rural county regarding broadband availability. From a public safety and EMS services perspective, they've been working off a radio system that was installed in 1951. What are we talking, 50 years plus easily? Yeah. And, you know, this county, of course, the county is currently using outdated systems. Therefore, it cannot interoperate with other surrounding counties. And the conclusion in the plan was that Greene County is rapidly becoming an island. And that's very scary. You know, as you know, we don't have a hospital in Greene County. So all of these services and being able to respond very quickly is critically important. There were some steps proposed to address the problems we're facing in Greene County in the plan, and very quickly they suggested establishing a telecommunications focus group with specific deliverables. Let's form a telecommunications coalition, of which we feel we could play a very important role to create some opportunities to find the kind of funding and help at the federal level to get this job done. And also, there's some interesting models out there that other communities across the country have done. I believe I sent you a case study on one particular model in Wisconsin, which we found very interesting. And these are these open access fiber models. And these are new models for broadband. And they provide an open service network, which makes the network infrastructure available to as many competing third-party service and content providers as possible. So what ends up happening is the consumer gets greater choice. They get access to the latest state-of-the-art telecommunication services and hopefully at a significantly reduced cost. So those are potential solutions to the issues and challenges we face also.
Right. I mean, it's kind of remarkable. Usually in certain arenas of political discourse in this country, it is fashionable to sneer at Europe and Asia's, you know, in light of American exceptionalism, as the phrase goes. Mm. But it's demonstrably true that high-speed broadband access is significantly cheaper and more accessible to people in many other places. I mean, I think in part of the packet that you sent me, it was noted that America is more or less on the level of Istanbul, Turkey, in terms of its in terms of the availability of speed and competitive. I guess what am I trying to say? Where the competitive choice for consumers. And I don't understand how we're expected to compete in the 21st century with a system that's held together by spit and scotch tape.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. A little tidbit of information is, do you know what the number one country is in the world with the fastest internet speeds?
Well, I was going to jump out and say South Korea.
It is South Korea. Very good.
It is
South Korea. They have the fastest upload and download speeds. I believe the United States is 25th in the world, which is a bit of a sad statement for our country. And we can do so much better. But we are definitely creating a digital divide, as you pointed out early on in the broadcast. And we've got to do something about it because many, many people are being left behind in Greene County and other counties in New York State are going to continue to be left behind.
And it's not just, again, I'm not sure if you mentioned this just now, but it's not simply just a question of being able to stream YouTube videos faster or game faster, because you talked about tele-education and telemedicine, but so much of government services are moving to an online-only model that I'm not quite sure how people are expected to conduct business over a cell phone, if they can even get a data network, a smartphone data network that would allow them to do this. And then, of course, there's the issue of cost, which perhaps we should also touch on a little bit, about how people are being penalized if they can't, without competition, if they're relegated to this second-tier service, so how much they have to spend even just to get to maybe 50 or 75% of what people should expect.
Right. And of course, as people well know, I'm stating the obvious. The reason that we don't have the access that more urban centers do, New York City or Long Island or who have you, is it's simply a function of population.
Right.
We don't have the population to lure them here. And, you know, I want to be clear. I understand these are profit-making companies. They're businesses, and they're entitled to make their profits. And we totally understand that. But we do believe, and it drives home your point, that we need the help of our elected leaders to make sure that this service, which is now as essential as electricity was a century ago, whether we like it or not, it's here to stay. And we have an obligation to make sure everybody has access to it. And you're right, this is not just about entertainment or using Twitter or, you know, or YouTube or any of that. It goes much deeper than that. It's our emergency services. It's also, you know, I'm in the electric industry, the energy industry, and smart metering. If you've heard of the smart grid, this is very much going to be where we are headed. And many utilities are already heading, or maybe they're already there. Without access to internet and high-speed internet and broadband, ultimately, folks are not going to be able to take advantage of this. And this has great benefits for them. It helps them monitor, control, and reduce how much energy they use, helps them control their costs. So for all those reasons alone, you know, people are not going to be able to partake in that. And that's going to be really unfortunate. It's an economic engine. You know, tourism is big in Greene County. We all know that. As a matter of fact, the county is doing a fantastic job rebranding themselves and their tourism for this century. Three terrific websites about to come out if they're not already up and running, and I've seen them. But here's the thing. It's great that people who don't live here will be able to access that information. But once they get here, I have to wonder, okay, let's say, for example, they come up to attend an event, and once they're here, they want to go back to the county's website. Where can I go eat? What else is there to do? What are the hours? Where is this located? And if they're not able to get that information, they're not likely to come back in the future. Also, folks that live here. It's not just tourists that want to attend these events or concerts or whatever it is that may be going on. They need the same access.
Yes.
So I really think that's why the county is starting to realize, wow, we see this as necessary to keeping our tourism business thriving, as well as attracting new business. And so it's just essential from that perspective. Another thing that's important most people don't think about is home values, property values. I just recently spoke with a local realtor, and I asked her that question. Are you seeing potential buyers? And we all know in this economy there's not a lot of buying and selling going on, but the buyers that they're getting are asking the question, does the house have cell service? Does it have internet? And if it does not, they are not interested. So people need to recognize this could impact your property values. And, you know, that's something that everyone thinks about, that they don't want any more reason to not be able to potentially sell their home down the road.
No, absolutely. A few years back, I mean, going back to the story of the $3.5 million broadband grant, grant that Sam Pratt at his blog, eponymous blog that's located here in Columbia County, he mentioned that one of his issues was Mid-Hudson Cable was going to require him to basically put down $2,000 for the privilege of laying the line so that he could then pay them $2,000 in yearly subscription fees to actually have cable service and internet service.
Right.
And if you have people who are trying to come up as a second home, or they're, you know, trying to maybe put together a little homestead, you know, if they're going to be relegated to second class citizenship because there's no online access, I mean, I don't see how this is gonna
yes
be.
And this gets back to the function of population, or to the point about this being a function of population. You're talking about line extension, service extension areas, and people can request to have service brought up to their roads. But yes, there are charges to do so. We're very familiar with that. We've had a lot of people come to us with that story. We're actually working on that issue with Mid-Hudson Cable to make it so it's more accessible for residents. Part of the reason for this is that there is a minimum homes per mile standard that the PSC, Public Service Commission, does mandate. And it is 35 homes per mile, which is the typical minimum that they want to see before they will put and extend service to an area. And as you know, we're in rural counties. You're not going to see a lot of that until you get up and around, you know, the Albany and a little more populated areas. Mid-Hudson Cable, however, though, has recently indicated they would be willing to look at areas where the homes per mile is less, if it makes sense for them. And so this is what I mean when I say we're making some progress. Okay. We're having dialogue. We're encouraging them to consider these situations, to work with us. Let's find solutions rather than, you know, continuing to oppose each other. You know, the bottom line, Ron, we're all in this together, and the service providers are who we have here. We'd love to see the big guys come in, but in most cases, they may not, or if they do, it may be very far down the road.
Right.
We want to work with those who are here. We recognize that. We can help each other, but we also need our local town officials to be educated on this, and our town supervisors, and that's a role we see ourselves as playing. We want to bring everybody to the table. That's another goal of our coalition, actually, and Congressman Gibson has totally agrees, and our county officials agree. There is a real need at the county level to have what I call a task force, broadband task force, and actually this Green County plan recommended that. If we could get the key stakeholders to the table, our county leaders, business leaders, the public, our service providers, and anyone else who's interested, let's get some people together who are willing to dedicate their time to this. Let's find some solutions, whether they be, you know, private service providers or public-private partnerships. There's opportunities out there. And then let's find some monies. Let's find a way to make this happen. I'm convinced we can do it. And it'll take time, but we can do it.
I like hearing optimism every once in a while. I really do. So how can people get involved? I think we should begin the process of wrapping up.
Absolutely.
So how would someone get involved with this organization?
Funny you ask that. I have a few things here that I'd like to suggest to our listeners. First of all, if you're curious and you're listening to me and you're wondering, well, I don't even know how fast my internet is, there's actually a website you can go to and conduct a speed test. And you can calculate your own speed so you know what you do have. And it's www.speedtest.net. I think it's a two-step process, very easy. The other thing we are asking residents to do is go to this website, which is www.broadband.gov, to check your area for coverage. What you may find is that your area is wrong, and if it is, they would like you to send them an email to correct it.
Okay.
So please do that. Please write your local, state, and federal elected officials. Let them know that this is important to you. Tell them your personal story, whatever it takes. But let them know you're paying attention and you're holding them accountable to address this issue. And you can contact us, Rosemary and myself, at iwantgcbroadband@gmail.com. That's iwantGCBroadband@gmail.com. Join our coalition. We promise not to hit you with a lot of emails, but we will keep you updated on our progress. We'll send you information. We'd love to have you join and help us in our quest.
Kathleen Whitley Harm. Yes, and please, you and Rosemary, more than welcome to come back as events unfold. Especially, I'm assuming, if the spring conference from Representative Gibson does come to pass, which you think it probably will. I think that we should try to get some reporting done on that.
Absolutely. And thank you. And it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Ron.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so we are at about 10 minutes before the hour of 6 at WGXC 90.7 FM. Ron Diamonstein with Peter Krug and Samir Aligad. I will get that straight one of these days. A song, a couple of songs as we lead up to the 6 o'clock hour, an Al Jazeera in English. So Woody Guthrie.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway, saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.